You'll hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danon Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it's Tuesday, 7:20-ish, 7:19. Danon Hughes will join us now as he is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of beers. Danon, how are you on this? Well, kind of a soaked, drenched Tuesday morning, but cleanse the hate and bring on the beautiful, right?
Yes, good morning. I am definitely doing okay. I'm doing better than I did last week and the week before because we got a win. So all is good.
And Iowa put up 38 points on Friday night. How about
in
that?
One game?
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
How about those Buckeyes, man?
We are an offensive juggernaut. What are you talking about?
Wow. I mean, 38 points in one game is magical.
Hey, man, when you walk out of this building in Kansas going, man, that under of 41.5 is a lock, and then you see that Iowa put up 38 themselves, you're humbled quick. Let's get into what that game was on Sunday night. I'll be honest, a piss-poor first half, but then in the second half, it seemed like this team kind of turned and clicked into something that maybe felt a little more comfortable. What did you notice from the first half to the second half?
I just noticed that this team is still trying to figure out who they are, figure out their identity. They keep themselves in the games, and we should be kind of comfortable. I don't know if comfortable is the right word. I should say we should be used to this based on the close games that we were able to win last year and get to the promised land like we did. So, I mean, if that's what this team is going to be, a version of last year's team that got to the Super Bowl, that, you know, flirted with an undefeated season for a large part of it, then so be it. Yeah, we have to get our heart medicine together and, you know, buckle up for the whole season. But they figured out a way to win. And I've said it for these last couple of weeks, take the top two receivers off of any team in the NFL, and they'd probably be 0-3 or 1-2, and that's where we are. So, you know, it's still early in the season. I'm glad they were able to grind out a win. We got a somewhat of a gauntlet of teams that, you know, in our schedule coming up. You talk about going to Jacksonville on Monday night, but Baltimore and then, you know, Buffalo down the road. So we got to figure things out. But a win is a win, and I'll take it every day of the week.
Yeah, that's where I am. The older I get, I just care about winning games, right? You can leave your style points and all that on the cutting room floor and just give me a victory and find a way to get it done. And they did that, and they did it with Tyquan Thornton. I'm excited to watch him as wide receiver number three when we get Rice and Worthy back. Now, all of a sudden, Danon, you got three wide receivers that could be pretty special in this offense.
Yeah, you know what? I am very impressed with Tyquan and first of all, I love guys that, you know, the underdogs, the, you know, maybe supposed to be the number five, number six receiver, you know, coming into the season. If everybody's healthy, I don't know if we would see much of him on the field and then taking advantage of his opportunities. I mean, we've seen this throughout the course of history. You can go back to guys like, you know, even Mark Boerichter and other guys that were the number four, number five receivers, and then they make big plays for us. So I just love that story. You know, part of it is kind of what my career was, not necessarily with his speed, but just a guy that maybe you just don't know what you're going to get from him. You maybe typecast him into something, and then he becomes something else. And I think that's great. I love the fact that Andy Reid has embraced it, and even more so, the confidence shown by Patrick Mahomes towards him is very similar to the confidence that we've seen with Patrick and Travis, where I'm going to you, I believe in you, okay, you didn't make that play, but I'm going right back to you, and I'm going to give you another opportunity. And I feel like that's a testament to leadership. I think that's something that galvanizes a team in the locker room because guys know, okay, he's not the first-round pick. He's not Xavier Worthy. He's not Rashee Rice. But darn it, he's good. and hopefully they get him the ball. And then all of a sudden, guess what? They're getting him the ball, and they're getting him the ball again, and he's getting more plays on the field. So, you know, regardless of what the depth chart says, regardless of what, you know, who's the bright, shiny coin as far as draft picks and part of game plans, the fact that he's maximizing his opportunities and he's garnering the confidence of Matt Nagy, Andy Reid, and most importantly, Patrick Mahomes, I love it.
Danon, you were on a team that had a couple of superstars and, you know, some greats in the NFL, Marcus Allen and Joe Montana. I bring this up because this is now a third week in a row where there's been some sort of like Travis Kelce, not necessarily a blow up, but kind of this week was a little bit more, you know, characterized more than others. When you see it, you know, maybe once or twice from like a Joe or a Marcus. And it's like, you know, once every, you know, great while, you're kind of like, all right, that guy's pissed. He's the leader of this team. We should probably pay attention. It's now 3 weeks in a row. We've seen Travis Kelce kind of get out of his character and kind of show a lot of emotion. I'd like to know what your opinion is on that. And then where you stand, like when it comes from a team aspect of seeing that week after week after week so far this season.
So for me as a player, I will say this. I was never the guy that was the rah-rah guy, the scream and yell guy, whether it was in high school, college, or definitely not the pros. But I understood that everybody has their own ways to tackle adversity. They have their own ways to get themselves fired up, have their own ways to stay engaged in a game. Yeah, I've been on the field with Derek Thomas and the helmets being slammed. I've been on the field with Dale Carter and his crazy ways, and yet those guys were all pro, and they figured things out, and they made big plays. The one thing that always comes to my mind whenever I played with a guy like that or whenever I watch guys like that is, what's your effort saying? I know what your mouth is saying. I know what your abilities can say. Obviously, part of the game plan and part of, you know, practices and I know what the play calling is saying, and I see what the defense is doing, or I see what the offense is doing to try to stop you and your superstardom on the field. But what's your effort saying? Because as a player, and even going back to those blue-collar kind of guys, because most of the guys on the team are those blue-collar guys, even though they're high-paid, Creed Humphrey, the Trey Smiths, these guys, those are blue-collar guys that are on the field. They just grind. They're going to be the dirtiest. They're going to be the sweatiest. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have the most bandages when they get on the plane back to Kansas City. But when you're in that meeting room, and I know what antics that you displayed on the sideline, whether you were screaming at other teammates, whether you were part of that rally before the game where everybody's huddled up around you and you're screaming and, you know, getting everybody hyped up, is that translating to your efforts on the field? Mm-hmm. That's, to me, what speaks volumes about leadership. Because anybody can, like, I was a captain for 4 years. I went out for the coin toss. Did that make me a leader? I don't know. I would like to think that my effort and what I brought to the field made me one of the leaders on the team. But from being that guy with the voice, and then being the guy with the voice with the stardom, and the guy with the voice and the stardom and the money and the accolades, you got to be also supporting that with your effort. And that's what I watch on film. That's what I watch from the booth is, okay, yeah, somebody's going to start yelling. Somebody's going to get in someone's face. That's all part of football. It's all part of your competitive juices, whether it's coaches and players, whether it's players and players. All of that's part of it. I get it. But then what did you do the next play? What did you do the next series? Did you chase somebody down from behind on the defensive side? Did you get that extra block on the sideline when it was necessary? That's what I think translates. And if it doesn't, and this is what we got to be careful about, if it doesn't, then that's when you start losing the locker room. That's when guys start tuning you out as that so-called leader. So that's why I'm hoping that these guys that are fired up, that get in each other's face, that are, you know, the so-called leaders of the team, are recognizing that, hey, my voice and chest bumping with Andy Reid and getting in the face of the coordinators and each other, that's only going to go but so far, because everybody's going to watch that film on Monday and wonder, okay, well, you know, what did you do on that run play that was away from you? What did you do when you didn't keep contain on the quarterback? Or, you know, did you chase down somebody? Did you drive somebody into the ground and pancake block them when it wasn't your play? Like, what else was happening? So I think that those are the things that are going to keep my attention going forward, because otherwise the screaming and yelling becomes hollow.
Are you seeing that effort from Travis Kelce from where you are in this, from the booth or from the practices or all the 22 games you watch?
I see some of it, but again, it's one of those deals where the louder you are vocally, the more I need to see it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, it's one of those deals, because now, you know, it gets tiresome when you only thing you do is you hear it. And I'm not saying this to disparage those guys. I do believe they are true leaders. I do believe that in throughout their careers, they've exemplified leadership on the field as playmakers. But now we're in uncharted territory at 1-2. And we're seeing a trend where the voices are getting louder on the sidelines. So guess what? When the voices get louder, my eyes get wider as a player. And my eyes are going to be now looking, okay, is this guy just talking the talk, or is he walking the walk? Can I follow him, you know, into the fire, because he's, you know, driving people down the field. He's taking his double teams and running his full routes so that I can get open on the other side. Is all of these things happening, or is it just going to be about the noise that I'm going to walk away from on the sideline when he's screaming on one end?
And Dana, this is the first time, too, a lot of these guys have had to deal with adversity. We've seen them lead when they're winning. It's easy to be a leader when you're winning, right? It's easy to do all that.
Yeah.
Real leaders show who they are in times of toughness. And right now, for probably the first time in their careers together, they're facing adversity during the regular season.
Yeah, and the players know. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys know, I'm sure you guys are aware of it, and maybe some of the listeners don't understand the true depth of film study. There's a difference between watching film and studying film. And then there's a component of studying film that is the accountability. Because I can get, you know, I was in a situation where, you know, in 1997, we played the Denver Broncos in the playoffs. I kicked the dude, got a penalty. Next play, they throw the ball to Ed McCaffrey. He runs down the sideline, like a 60-yard gain. They get in position to score. I can come to the sideline and scream and yell and complain and say, I didn't kick him. I didn't hit him. You know, that was bogus. He hit me first, blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff, which happens all the time. But you know what? Monday morning, when the film turns on, I got nothing. All I could do is be like, you know what? All those antics on the sideline, yeah, in the heat of the moment, maybe I didn't realize it, maybe I blacked out, all that stuff, but the accountability is right in front of me, as well as the other 52 guys plus the practice squad guys that are watching this film.
Dana, before we let
that's
you get out
where,
of here.
That's where they are.
Before we let you get out of here, do we need to audition kickers?
No. I'm going to give him some leeway. Harrison Butker's made some big kicks for us. I think he'll get back on track.
All right. Well, you got a big one versus Indiana this week, Danan. So you know what that guy says? Google me, and we'll find out if he Googled Iowa score last week. Danan, we'll talk to you next week. Have a good call on Sunday at 3:25 in a dynamite matchup between the Ravens.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That is Danan Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
I want to start One Word off with a text I just got from my friend Paul about his parents. And this is directed right at Dusty.
Hi, Paul.
Paul's on a plane. His parents are on a plane right now at the same time going to different places. He sends me this text. I said, where are your parents going? They're going to Long Island. Some friends gave him tickets to the Ryder Cup practice rounds.
Wow.
One word, Dusty.
Horny.
That's what I thought it would be. Yeah, I love
it. I know that I'm hard.
I've been watching it. I'm not a golfer, but this is America versus the world. Let's go, baby.
I mean,
USA.
Wrap yourself in the flag this weekend, baby. Bethpage Black.
How about that? Here's free tickets to a practice round at the Ryder Cup.
That's incredible.
I'd pay for those. Like,
that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man, I'd come back looking like that God Bless America guy. I'd have an American flag shirt.
Hello,
I'd have
America.
Statue of Liberty pants. I'd have, like, little glasses that said Home of the Free and the Brave.
Can you get that geeked up for the practice rounds, though?
Oh,
yeah, I think so. I think you can.
When we turn the TV on Friday morning, the Ryder Cup starts, and all of a sudden you see everybody out there, and it looks like America just...
I mean, it's going to be a mess. It's New York. It's America.
And
it's the Ryder
Shambly
Cup.
The hell out of here.
I mean, it's going to be wild there in Long Island. Like, I've been anticipating this for a while now, hearing about all the setup and everything that's been going on and the excitement and the New York aspect of this thing. Like, I just don't know what's going to happen, man. I think it's going to be awesome. That's really cool that they're going to that practice. Would you rather do that, the Masters, or, like, what would be the ultimate? If I could get you practice round tickets, and I'm saying practice round because I'm cheap. If I get you practice round tickets to any golf outing, which one would it be?
Oh, it's Augusta.
Is it Augusta? Okay.
It's God's country.
One word, Monday Night Football.
Fumble.
111 points through three games for the Ravens. They have a losing record. First team to do that in NFL history.
Yeah, fumble. Because three times now this season, Derrick Henry has fumbled. And that's what I took away from last night. That guy can be had. That guy can be got. That guy can be stripped of the football. So go after it this week here in Kansas City. Three straight games, two huge costly fumbles for Derrick Henry. They could be 2-1 if Derrick Henry protects the football.
Could be 3-0.
Could be 3-0, yeah.
Electric. I think that game was as advertised. I mean, the over-under was, what, 53.5? They scored over 60. Both teams played, you know, at their capacity. I mean, Jared Goff looks like they figured it out after week one. They got beat by the Packers, and they beat the Bears, and they beat the Ravens. I mean, good for them. They get the Chiefs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like now we're 3 weeks in. It's like, oh, they lost to a great Packers team that was ready, and it was a revenge game. They had more motivation than the Lions did that week. So, yeah, there's some reasons for
that. Maybe the Chiefs lost to two great teams at the start of their season as well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I think that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Combined record 6-0.
Yeah.
No, it is true. It is true. Just, yeah, the frustration for me would lie more on the Chiefs.
Sure.
I mean, you'd love to start with the Carolina Panthers at noon on Sunday in your opener. It's just where we are in life right now.
I'd love to have the Buffalo Bills schedule.
Yeah,
just, sorry,
absolutely.
We play in the West. They play in the East. It is what it is.
Yep, and a lot of people would have said that about our Chiefs a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's so
cyclical, you know? It really is.
It is, except for the AFC East has
always
been always hot
bad. But that's on them.
Yep.
I was listening to something yesterday, and they were talking about already replacing, you know, Daboll in New York and what they need to do. Look at all these coaches that are really coming on the scene now that are successful. They're guys that have done it before, man. Got to stop hiring these 35-year-old offensive coordinators. Harbaugh's got his team back. They will be fine in Las Vegas after they revamp that roster. You know, that's a good hire down there. All of these coaches that have done it before are the ones that are kind of having that success right now. It's hard to be a coach in the NFL.
It's hard to be a left tackle in the NFL. We talked about it for 4 months. We need one. We need one. We need one. Well, we got one. Josh Simmons, every metric, every advanced stat, everything.
Big.
He looks to be the guy. One word. I just put this in because I wanted to talk about it because we don't get to talk about him anymore because of everything else happening. One word on Josh Simmons.
I'm just going to use one word that I've got is stud. It's hard to say an offensive lineman is a stud. It's easy to see that this guy's a stud.
Stud.
Yeah, I would say advertised. First round
the
pick.
Who you talk to?
Yeah, true. First round pick. He's done his job. He obviously is. You see the metrics in the stats and the next gen stats. He's doing what he's supposed to do as left tackle, and it's his first year. He's played three games in the NFL. Imagine what this kid's going to look like in 2-3 years from now.
One word, Kelce. Fans are now alleging that, or I guess insinuating that he was ticked off that last night about the coaching staff, about the play calls, about the lack of production.
You know what I'm ticked off about? You dropping a pass against the Eagles in the end zone.
Yep.
Enough with the play calls and the yelling and all of that kind of stuff. Now, unless you were yelling about Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, it is.
Which is my case. I think he was yelling about Juwan Taylor at that point in time. But over is the one word I'll use. You heard Danan. That's the nicest way Danan could say, play better.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to talk it, you got to walk it.
Yeah.
I would say the one word that describes Travis Kelce right now is pressure. I think this is his last game, and I think he wants everything to be perfect. And as we all know, we've all seen, it's not been perfect. And stress and time is starting to hit him a little bit differently, and he wants everything to be perfect. He wants to be a well-oiled machine. This is not a well-oiled machine. There's a lot of rust on this vehicle that needs to be knocked off. So my one word for Travis Kelce's antics would be pressure.
Yeah, that's a good one. But also, too, Travis needs to understand you're missing your top two wide receivers right now. Things will get better. We're just used to being able to replace anybody and anybody at any point in time. Well, that doesn't work anymore. And sometimes I think to myself, boy, I wish we would have gotten away from maybe some of these guys a little bit earlier so we don't have to talk about the decline of their careers, right? Here we are potentially talking about that decline of Travis Kelce's career, him yelling on the sidelines. I don't want to talk about that. I don't like that. I don't want him to have his last year be one that's like this and the way that it started with yelling on the sidelines for 3 years. So I'm putting out the jam to Travis Kelce right now. Stop. Just stop. Go out there and play. Calm down a little bit. I know things aren't working the way that you want, but you're not with a full complement of weapons at this point in time. Take a deep breath. Go out there. Use that emotion and energy in the right way, not the wrong way. Now, if you were yelling about Juwan Taylor, I'm all on your side about that one.
Still technically alive are the Kansas City Royals.
Hell yes, they are. They're going into tonight's game. Well, it's a West Coast game. Where does the Detroit-Cleveland get an early game? Yeah.
One word, potential last week of baseball for the Royals.
Fun. That's what you want. Anybody who's complaining about the Royals this year, I understand they set a playoff team, but we're going into the final six games and they're still technically alive for the playoffs. We begged for this 3 years ago. Now here we are. We got it. It's been a fun, interesting season for the Kansas City Royals.
My one word, which will piss a lot of people off, is alive.
Yeah.
They're not eliminated.
They're not.
Still there.